Currently Kirkland, your source for city news and events in the community. With Connie Turman at the news desk. Stay up to date with weekly news reports and what's happening in Kirkland. Now, here's Connie.
Welcome to Currently Kirkland, where you can engage with your community by discovering the latest developments in citywide events. I'm Connie Turman. In response to disruption of garbage, recycling, and yard waste collection service due to a labor strike in late summer, the Kirkland City Council unanimously approved a resolution that provides for a one-week credit to residential and garbage customers within the city limits of Kirkland. From July 25th to August 1st of this year, members of the Teamsters Local 117, whose membership includes recycling and yard waste truck drivers of Waste Management of Washington Incorporated, went on strike.
Our citizens and our businesses were without collection services for a week, and they paid for those services. So our decision was to refund their money for that lost week of service.
The council's action allows for the city to use part of its payment of approximately $278,000 to Waste Management for collection services to cover the cost of the credits. The amount of the one-week credit each customer receives will vary depending on the account holder's garbage service level. Credits will appear in utility statements beginning with the November billing cycle. The city intends to fully pursue all performance fees outlined in its contract with Waste Management.
We're working with Waste Management to resolve the exact amount that we're entitled to under our contract. They've been really good partners with us. They've been great partners in our community. We're absolutely confident we're going to work it out, but we have not reached a financial settlement as yet.
For more information, call the Utility Billing Office at 425-587-3150. City officials and residential and commercial property owners, financial, development and design professionals, and local businesses gathered last week for the second Totem Lake Symposium. The symposium gave attendees an opportunity to celebrate recent infrastructure improvements and development incentives, as well as new businesses and industries that have moved into the district since the first event. According to the Kirkland Mayor, Joan McBride, she and her staff have been looking forward to the meeting.
Well, what I hoped that we would hear was how the assembled group felt about all of the many things that we have done since the last symposium that was held in 2010.
The first symposium allowed stakeholders invested in the Totem Lake Business District to share their vision of the area with city officials. The 2010 symposium was put together after the community realized that the Totem Lake area was not performing as well as the city had anticipated. At the close of the first symposium, it had been agreed that Totem Lake needed improved circulation, flood mitigation plans, and more flexible regulations. For 2 years, the city and the Totem Lake Business District businesses have worked tirelessly to inject more catalysts for economic vitality into the district. Private enhancements include new businesses, including the Topps Tennis Center, the Raritan Fiat dealership, and more recently, LA Fitness and My Home Furniture. Other new businesses include Astronics, Nebtesco, and Silicon Design. At the symposium, Mike O'Brien of the O'Brien Auto Group announced plans to expand the Toyota of Kirkland dealership and open a new Volkswagen dealership in the former Graham Steel Corporation building.
But what it will allow us to do is we just acquired the Volkswagen franchise for Kirkland. So we're going to retrofit that building. So Volkswagen in this market is probably 120 units a month new, probably another 100 used, probably a $50 million addition in sales to the Totem Lake Kirkland economy.
Public improvements include flood control measures to the Totem Lake drainage system and modifications to ground floor usage and height restrictions to be more responsive to the business climate. Also, among the city's accomplishments was becoming the owner of the Cross Kirkland Corridor and its positive impact on the businesses that border it and its ability to connect the Totem Lake area to the rest of Kirkland and beyond. This was a welcome discussion to Revel Consulting's Brett Alston.
I'm a huge advocate of the Cross-Kirkland Corridor, putting that infrastructure in place. I think that's going to work to draw a lot of businesses and residential into the area as well.
In a unique polling exercise, attendees were able to provide feedback on objectives and strategies to continue revitalization efforts of the Totem Lake area using pulse pad devices. Participants were presented questions and entered their answers using a handheld device. Results were instantly tabulated. A panel of businesses and civic professionals oversaw the exercise. There were many goals of the symposium. However, for Mayor McBride, there was one that stood out as the most important to her.
We also very much wanted to let folks know that we are getting ready to open the comprehensive plan for Totem Lake, and we're going to need their help and their ideas in order to take us to the next level.
Mayor McBride also stated that this year's legislative agenda will include an effort to get the Northeast 132nd Street and Interstate 405 interchanged pushed up in priority on the Interstate 405 executive plan. The project is currently slated to begin in 2025, which is not soon enough to benefit the Totem Lake area today. For more information, go to kirklandwa.gov/Totem Lake Action Plan. From Totem Lake to downtown Kirkland, improvements are also sought on a small historical slice of life at the corner of Kirkland Avenue and Lake Street. The Kirkland Ferry Clock once sat atop a green pole for decades to let ferrygoers know what time the steamboat to Seattle would be departing. Today, the clock sits at the city maintenance shop, and a thermometer tracking donations to fix this relic has taken its place on the pole. A local group of civic activists have begun an effort to have the clock restored back to its 1935 condition.
Luckily, we found somebody, a very reputable firm, that redid the Paramount Theater sign downtown, and they can make this clock look like it did in 1935. It's going to have a ferry schedule on it. It'll be very authentic, and it's a piece of Kirkland history that we should save.
The cost of this restoration project is estimated to be $9,000. The group has placed donation forms at the site of the old clock. More information on the history of the timepiece can be found at kirklandheritage.org. The cold weather is returning to the Pacific Northwest. For homeless Eastsiders, this transition to fall and winter can be deadly without walls and a roof to protect them from the elements. Fortunately, winter shelters here on the East Side will begin opening their doors to the less fortunate, offering them a safe alternative to the streets. However, not all shelters may be appropriate for just anyone. The Sophia Way opened its winter shelter for women and children on November 1st. The shelter is located at the Redmond United Methodist Church during November and February and at Bellevue's First Congregational Church during December and January. The shelter will open every night from 8:30 p.m. and close at 7:30 a.m. The shelter will operate until March 15th. Congregations for the Homeless will open their winter shelter for men on Thursday, November 15th at Bellevue's St. Peter's United Methodist Church, located behind Crossroads Mall, every night from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. The shelter, which has a capacity of 80, will stay open until March 15th. Services include mats, blankets, bus tickets, site supervision, coffee, snacks, and donated meals. Friends of Youth operates The Landing, an emergency young adult shelter for people between the ages of 18 and 24. The Landing is open 7 days a week. It is the only emergency young adult shelter on the East Side. In addition to being a safe place in times of crisis, it provides young people with resources and referrals needed to exit homelessness. Lineup for the shelter is at 8:30 p.m. and intake begins at 8:45 p.m. Guests are provided with dinner, showers, laundry service, clothing, and breakfast in the morning. Residents may stay at the Landing up to 30 nights within a 3-month period. The Landing closes at 8 a.m. each morning. Friends of Youth will also be opening a 6-bed young adult shelter in their Snoqualmie office located at 7972 Maple Avenue Southeast beginning October 22nd. The Snoqualmie shelter will open Sunday through Thursday nights. This shelter will also open at 8:30 p.m. and close at 8 a.m. and will only take individuals between the ages of 18 and 24. For resource information and assistance, contact the Washington Information Network by dialing 211 or visit its website at win211.org. On a calendar note, and if you're feeling the spirit of giving, register for the 12th annual Turkey Trot to be held on Sunday, November 18th. HopeLink is once again calling all trotters to show up at Marina Park. Run or walk for a good cause, as proceeds benefit HopeLink's programs, including food and housing assistance, adult education, family development, and emergency financial and transportation services. To learn more about the Turkey Trot and HopeLink, visit hope-link.org. Remember, you can access any episode of Currently Kirkland on demand on the city's website, on your mobile device, and on YouTube. We'd also love to hear from you. If you have any news tips, suggestions, or comments, please send them to kirklandtv@kirklandwa.gov. Thanks for watching Currently Kirkland. We'll see you next time.